That's a word you want to hear, isn't it? Okay, our children's church will be dismissed. I love the individual personalities of these kids. There's not two of them that leave the same way. Oh, wow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Okay. We've been doing some plowing and some tilling and some planting and enriching, and God's just led us through a whole bunch of stuff that we kind of paralleled with the growing of your home garden or your flower beds or whatever you plant in the ground. People who, to me, people who do that are kind of, to me, like people who like dogs. I love them. I love people who like dogs. Well, and cats, sorry. Animals, we'll just put it. I love people who love to put stuff in the ground and watch it grow. Mostly that's usually men who plant the gardens, but I know some ladies who do some very good gardening, especially in the flower section. And there's just something exciting about watching things placed into the ground and watching it grow. Well, I have to tell you, to me, there's something exciting about a person getting to know the Lord, that the Lord plants as a Christian in this life, and watching them grow. That's exciting to me. And today we're going to talk about Christian growth. Now, if I just put in that title Christian growth and left it at that, it would be a little bit boring, just Christian growth. You know, that doesn't sound. But if you'll notice at the end of that in your bulletin, I put Christian growth, blessed. Blessed. So you're going to find out today that if you grow as a Christian, and I'll give you some biblical information on how that happens, you're going to be blessed. And I don't know about you, but I like being blessed. I do. So let's read these first three verses together, and then we'll dig into the Word. You like digging into the Word? That's another garden word there, digging. Digging in. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Now that sounds like that would be a message all its own, doesn't it? But he goes on in verse 2 and 3 and tells us a whole lot more. "As newborn babes, desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, I wanted to go on and read verse 3 because that has to do with you tasting of the graciousness of the Lord. And if you're not a child of God, you haven't had that taste. I was up to see Tom one day, and he broke out some cookies and some cookie butter. Have y'all ever had cookie butter? Well, I hadn't either until I went to see Tom. And now I understand that Tom got it through Les and Jackie. I'm an investigator. But when he gave me that cookie, almond cookie with that cookie butter, I thought I'd already died and gone to heaven. If you don't have any, it's at Food City. I work for them. I'm just kidding. It's at Food City, and you'll find it's on the top shelf, and it comes in smooth and crunchy. Now, which one did I get? Y'all know I got the crunchy one. But if you want the smooth one, you can get it too. I have got a taste for cookie butter on almond cookies. And could I tell you, it excites me every time I look in my cabinet and see that little jar of cookie butter. And it's the same way with a person who has gotten a relationship with the Lord. They get excited about the things of the Lord, especially the word of the Lord. Amen? When you get to know the Lord, this is God's love letter to us. And I get excited about his love letter to me, don't you? Well, in verse 3 says, if ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you need to get into his word, because that's where we're going to grow. Let's bow our heads, and I just want us to ask the Lord to direct this message to each and every one of our hearts, so that when we leave here today, we do not leave the same as when we came. We need to know that when we leave here, we're taking something away that's going to make our life so much better than when we came this morning. Lord, we do want to thank you today for this time of receiving the blessings of your word. Lord, how that when we taste and we eat them and we digest them in our Christian lives, Lord, what a blessing it is. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we do get to grow in you. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that to do that, we've got to stay in your word. And we praise you for what you're going to do here today. In Jesus' sweet name, your Son and our Savior, we praise you today. Amen. When we talk about Christian growth, and that's where this whole message is going to be today. When we talk about Christian growth, we're not talking about if you up your numbers of church attendance. It's not one of... Actually, you can't measure growth. Like, I have this door at home. I wish I were like some folks, and you walk into my house and it's pristine, but it's not. It's not. I have a door that goes in where my washer and dryer are. In fact, when you come into my house, you won't come in the front door unless you park where there's not a driveway. And you walk from somewhere else. You'll come in through my den door. And when you come in, you look straight at the door that takes you into my washer and dryer among a multitude of other items. Did I say that correctly? Well, on the door, if you were to open the door, you swing it back, you see Clay, Sam, and Brady. These are my three youngest boys, grandsons and great-grandson, who like to measure how they're growing. Y'all ever had any kids who want to see how well they've grown? And they'll come in and they'll back up to that door. Now it's hard for me to see where Clay goes. But before, I've got him way down here where I could lay the yardstick on his head and put the mark on and put his name and the date that I did it. And you see them as they grow, and they love to see that door. If I ever paint that door, I don't know that I will, but if some of y'all would like to bring the paint and come on, I'll take a picture of that door so that I never lose that memory. To me, every time I open that door and see those boys' names and how they have grown over the years, it just puts a little thrill in my heart to know that I've been with those boys, you know, all that time. Because I love my grandkids. I do. I love them more than I love my kids. I just had to tell you that, and the truth will set me free, right? But we're talking about Christian growth here, and there's not a door you can back up to and put a mark on it to see how you've grown. Because we're talking about spiritual growth, and if you recognize the spiritual growth in your life, I guarantee you someone else is going to recognize it. It will happen. The only measurement for the growth that I'm talking about are the blessings that come to you by the result of that growth. Now, did you get that? The blessings are the measurement of growth. And we're talking about Christian growth, how it's blessed. And if you're blessed, I'll guarantee you it's going to be known. The results are going to be there. And we're going to see how folks are being blessed this next year. I was so happy with folks that we saw coming into the church last year and who heard the word and began to grow. And you can just watch it happen, and it's thrilling to see that. It's kind of like your garden when you plant it, and we've gone through this, but if you weren't here for those, you plant it, and what do you do after you've planted?
Water.
You wait, and you watch, right? You can't wait to see that seed pop through the ground. Man, that's exciting. Now, if you go ahead and put your tomato plants in, you can't wait to see how tall they're going to get, and you know, if the little ones start coming on, and there's just exciting times about planting. And a Christian life is not just a one-time blessing. It's every little thing that happens in your life that shows that you're getting closer to the Lord. Something else happens, and it's like a bloom here and a blossom there and a tomato here and a cucumber here. It's if y'all can do those tomatoes and cucumbers in your Christian life there. It's just those little things that happen that just make your life such a blessing to yourself and to others that come into your space. And that's what we want. Some things just simply do not belong in the life of a child of God. Do you agree? That's an amen-er. Some things just do not belong in the life of a child of God. And if we're going to grow, we have to understand that, because growth calls for removal of certain things. I may be a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you right now, since I mentioned tomato plants, I love my tomatoes. Man, I can't tell you how much I love them in a jar of mayonnaise. But I take the suckers off mine. Do y'all break the suckers off when they start growing? You reach down there, and that little one that grows up, you know, between the ones that come out like that, you just break them off. And what you're doing is you're taking things away that will let that tomato plant grow a little bit better and a little bit stronger, and your tomatoes can get just a little bit bigger, because you want one that will cover a giant size of light bread, right? And I don't know what it is with tomatoes nowadays, but they don't seem to be growing like they did 20 years ago. But I'll leave that alone. They still taste good. So you take off those little suckers, and it's the same way with our lives. There are little suckers that need to be trimmed off. And nobody's going to do this for you. Don't come in my garden trimming my suckers. Amen? My garden, my plants, and I trim. And I'm telling you, your life is your life. You trim. That's between you and God. You know when to break the suckers off, right? You know when to do that. So we know that those things need to be done. Realizing that spiritual growth is not optional. So no one's going to be exempt from this message today. Not a soul in here, because spiritual growth is not optional. It is not. It is going to happen. If you're a child of God, there's going to be some growth. If you'll notice verse 1, the very first word of verse 1 in chapter 2 is what? Wherefore. Now, wherefore tells me that something happened before that, right? So I look back in chapter 1, and I find out that why he said wherefore. So I want to take you back there. If you still have your Bibles open, you can turn back with me And if they have the screen on in the sound room and they could put that on there, it would be really good. I didn't tell them this, so they'd have to be really good. And I don't believe Brennan's that good. But in chapter 1 and verse 13, I want you to read, because wherefore is there also. When he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now he's telling us some things that we're responsible to do. When he says, gird up the loins of your mind. If you're going to have a strong life, you're going to have a strong mind. And if you're going to have a strong spiritual life, you're going to have a strong spiritual mind. And he's telling us here that we need to gird up the loins. That's the strength of our mind. We're going to have to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And he's not talking about alcohol here, even though you'd have to take that in, I suppose. Alcohol in excess will cause you not to be sober. Amen? Well, here is what he's saying. You need to be sober. Sober in your thinking. Sober in your spiritual thinking. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. What are you going to be obedient to? Well, to him. Well, how are we going to know what to be obedient about? Oh, it's in his word right here. It's just so simple that he's laid it out for us. We're to be as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So former tells me that there's got to be a growth process in the Christian life. I can't be what I was. If I have asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin of unbelief, and he takes care of the rest of them also, but I have to ask him to forgive me for the sin of unbelief, because that's what keeps me lost and going to hell, is that I don't believe in him. So if I ask him to forgive me of that and save my soul, then there's something that's going to happen here. And he says, I don't want you to fashion yourselves according to the former lust. In other words, before I asked him to save me, I had some things in my life that belonged there because I was lost. That's what I was. And you can't take a hog from the mud and slop. He's going to go right back to it because that's what he is. He's a hog. And I'm not calling anybody a hog now. Don't get excited. But I'm just saying, you are what you are. And before you're saved, you like to wallow in that. That's what he says here. But he says those are former things. And now he's saying, as obedient children, don't fashion yourself according to the former lust. Don't try to hang on to what you were to be what you are. It doesn't work. We're talking about growth. And if we're going to grow, folks, as a Christian, and you may take a good look at if you're truly born again and you truly have the Spirit of the Lord living in you, because this is all going to lead to that. And if you're a born-again child of God, he says, I want you to take a good look at yourself. I don't want you to fashion yourself after what you used to be, because you're different now. I'm not the same. And, you know, us Christians, we like to say that. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not the same as I once was. In fact, there's a lot of songs been written along that line. And he says to us, don't do this. That was in your ignorance. That's when you didn't know. You know now. Because I've put the Spirit in you, and you know. When you read the Word of God, your eyes are enlightened, the eyes of your heart are enlightened, and you see where you are, you know where you are, and you need to make some changes. You say, well, I thought when I got saved, he'd make all the changes. Oh, he changed your destination. He did. He did. If you're truly born again, he changed your destination. But I'll tell you something else he did. He put in you the desire to be what he wants you to be. You actually fall in love with him. He loved you long before you ever loved him. But when you accepted him, you actually fell in love with him for what he did for you. When he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross so that one day when that burden of sin was so heavy you couldn't handle it and you said, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. And he did. man, when he did that, the love for him just overflowed and went directly toward him. And you're saying, Lord, what can I do to be more to you for what you've done for me? So he says, be as obedient children. Don't fashion yourselves as to what you used to be. Listen, he says in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy. Amen. That's what we needed. We didn't need somebody who was like us. I didn't go downtown looking for somebody to save me from what I was. I didn't go to a beer joint to find someone who could change me. I didn't go to the world to find that. You see, God didn't. I'm a spirit that possesses a body. I am not a body that possesses a spirit. I didn't need a body change. I needed a soul change, a spirit change. I needed something deeper than what you see on the outside. And he's the one. And the only one who could do that for me was a holy God. And he says in this verse, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Now, he didn't put that on somebody else to make me holy, did he, you? No, he told me. He told me to listen to God through his word and change and grow so that I could become what he wants me to be. He's saying, I want you to so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation is just simply your life. It's not a text. It's not Messenger. It's not Facebook. Even though we stay tied to those things seemingly constantly, it's not what he's talking about at all. Our life would be much better away from all that. I can tell you for assuredly, because when I grew up, we had 4- and 6-party phone lines. That's all we had. But we did learn to holler very loud. And if somebody wasn't within hollering distance, you couldn't text them and tell them to come over. And God here is not talking about our conversations as we converse with each other. He's talking about our life. Because when no one else is around, only you know where your life is. So he says, you know all about it. He says, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. Because, don't you love that word? He always gives us a reason why to do what we're going to do. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, boy, this is good stuff. It is. It is also not easy. Now, if you think I'm going to give you something that's easy in here and you walk out, because see, easy believism is not where I am. The Word of God is not an easy believism. You don't come, as Tom would say, chewing your chewing gum to accept the Lord and just swashing it around and then leave the same way. I'm not against chewing gum. I'm just saying it's our attitude for why we do things. But I want you to stop right there and go down with me to verse 24, because we're about to get ready to get up with the word wherefore again. He says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass. This is going to give us a good view of what we were and what we actually are in our old nature. Okay? Because remember, when you got saved, you didn't get rid of that. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, or falleth away. That's a pretty dim picture of who and what we are. What's the next word, folks? Oh, come on. We got visitors. Yeah, thank you. But, he says, but the word of God, or word of the Lord, endureth forever. So if you want something that's going to change your life for a moment or two, just stay where you are and live according to the ways of this old world, and they'll be temporary. But if you want your life to mean something in this life we live down here, then get a hold of the Word of God, Repent of your sin. Let him change you. And I'm sure most people in this congregation today have done exactly that. I'm not answering for you. I'm just saying the way I see you and know you. And we'll get into that part in just a minute. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. For years I have preached the gospel, not only behind this pulpit, but behind many pulpits. I have preached the gospel, and it's always the same. It is the word that will change your life. I can't change your life. I can't do it. If I could, I would, but I can't. But the word of God can change your life, but you've got to come to it. But it's also the word of God that grows our life. Now we get back to the next word that popped out there. Wherefore? Wherefore? Since we know those things. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Why do you suppose that he mentioned malice here? Well, he mentioned malice because his first two words after wherefore are what? What's the first two words after wherefore? Laying aside. Laying aside to me is like taking my coat off and throwing it over here somewhere. I hardly ever am real gentle with stuff like that. I usually just, you know, sling it. But I'm pretty good at that because I can sling my hat and it'll land right on that hook. Just kidding you. Not all the time. But he's talking about laying aside. And the first thing he mentions is all malice, not some. In fact, if you'll notice the word all, that's not the first time it's in here. All malice. Now, let's see, because we're getting ready to prune here now. We're getting ready to break off the suckers. We're getting ready to prune some things. Because if we don't prune some things, then we don't need to get into what we're going to eat, do we? Uh-uh. Because as you grow, you're going to eat. And we'll get into that second time. But right now, we're going to prune. What this means is the word laying aside here means that you're going to cut it away. That's the Greek Hebrew meanings rather than what we just know as laying aside. It means cutting away or laying aside, just like we do those suckers on those tomatoes. Things that will keep you from growing and producing. And every one of us want to grow and we want to produce. So you ask, why is it taking me so long to grow as a Christian? Has that ever passed any of our minds as to why it's taken so long for me to grow as a Christian? Because we want to be more mature in our Christian life. But it doesn't seem to be happening. Well, it could be because we're maybe just going along expecting somebody else to do it for us. Just saying. If we come to the house of God and we hear a good gospel message, we feel like we have gotten something that will help us to grow. If you go to a Sunday school class and you hear that word, you're hearing something that helps you at that particular time. But what about all the other times? What's going on in your life between the times that you're not at the house of God, hearing a good gospel song or a good gospel message or a Sunday school lesson or whatever? What's going on between those times? Well, it could be that the reason it's taking you so long to grow is because maybe you're just going through the motions of being a Christian. I don't mind telling you, in my life, there's been things that I have done that I went through the motions. My heart really wasn't in it. I just knew that was the thing to do, so I did it. There were things in my life growing up, and I'm sure you know too, things growing up in your life that just made it so that you thought that that's what you're supposed to do, so you do it, and you go through the motions. Well, he's not wanting us to go through the motions. He's telling us here, get away from that, because that's not what I want from you. But I tell you what I do want. I want all malice. I want all malice pruned from your life. And the reason he wants all malice is because malice is the first element of those things that he mentioned that has to go first. Just like in the fruits of the Spirit, which is the first one he mentions? Love. If you don't have that, all those other things that he mentions in the fruits of the Spirit are not going to be there. They're not. And the same thing here. Malice has to go. Peter says that we need to pay attention to the person God has planted. And that person is you. It's only you. If there wasn't, if you were the only person in here today, this message would be to you. And if there were 500 people, it would still be to you. Because God has planted you as the person he wants you to be. You're going to be a person who's going to reach other people. It's not someone else's obligation to do that. It is absolutely ours. So he says, lay aside all malice. Now, malice, a root of all kinds of evil. That's what malice is. It's the root of all kinds of evil. It takes in the word depravity. And if you have heard that word, you know that is total, and we believe in total depravity, where there's nothing good in us, not one iota. So he says, I want you to cast that off. I want that bad disposition and those old nature desires that you had before, I want those cast off. I want them laid aside. I want them broken off like the sucker on a tomato plant. I want those things gone. Because this old nature that we have in us, it's not eradicated. You're not going to eradicate the old nature by breaking off a sucker or two. So you say, well, I got rid of this. I quit this, and I got that out of my life, and I got this out of my life. I'm good to go. No, there'll be another sucker. There'll be another sucker. There'll be something else to prune. I promise you, it'll be there. And he says, I want you to know that old nature is not eradicated, and there's always going to be some pruning that's going on, and he wants us to do. Hanging on to the things of our old nature is kind of like Lazarus. We all know the story of Lazarus, and we love it. But when Lazarus came out of that grave, do you remember his sisters saying, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died? And you remember them also saying, oh, but Lord, he's been in there 4 days and he stinks. Remember that? Because we know what happens after 4 days. Remember that part? Well, if Lazarus had come out, and we know the clothes dropped off. We know he lost his grave clothes because the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Take those old grave clothes off. What if Lazarus had said, I'd like to keep those. I'd like to hang on to those because I think I'll wear them again. You think he's going to do that? Oh, no, absolutely not. But it's the same thing with us. We get saved and we say, I'd like to hang on to that. I'd like to hang on to that. No, you can't do that. That's not what he's saying here. If we're going to grow, because those things would stink just like the clothes that came off of Lazarus. And they do. They stink in the nostrils of the Lord. He said, lay aside all malice. Lay aside all guile, deceit. Now, some of these things you're going to notice that they have been there in your life. If not now, praise the Lord. But they've probably been there in some way, shape, or form. Guile is just simply deceit. It means to ensnare someone by a false statement. You actually ensnare them. You could call it a lie. If you lie to someone, you deceive them because it's to ensnare them, to get them to think in the way you want, and that's not where the Lord wants us. It's kind of like leading somebody down a different pathway than the way they're supposed to go. How many of y'all fish? Yeah, got to get some hands going up here. Is that all it fishes? Well, I'm going to throw my rod and reel away then. I don't have anybody to fish with. What do you take with you when you go fishing? You go to a bait shop. That's why they call it bait. And you get you some worms. Or corn or Or, come on, fishermen, what do you, French fries. Okay, the Lord's just full of stuff here today. So when you go fishing, you take many different things to fish with, right? It's called bait. Well, did you know that when you lead somebody astray, you're baiting them? You put that on there to fool the fish. You're not feeding him his lunch. You're trying to fool him. You're trying to deceive him to thinking he's got lunch. He don't have lunch. He has a hook waiting. You say, is it really that bad? It's really that bad. You deceive people and you bait them and you hook them. He says, that's got to go. I know that's the old nature. I know it is, but it's got to go. Then he said, hypocrisies. Now, there's no hypocrites in here. You've never been hypocritical in your life, right? You've never acted like something was good when it wasn't, right? Has anybody ever asked you, was that good? And you don't want to say no. So you say, yes. Now the next time you give me something to eat and you say, was that good? And I say, yes. You say, are you being hypocritical? I see some of your smiles. Hypocrisy is not a good thing. He says, you got to get rid of it. We just simply don't need it. It's acting. Being hypocritical is just acting. It's appearing to be what we're not. And he's got some more. Envies. You got to get rid of it. Do you know envy is a terrible thing because it's so closely related to jealousy. And if you've ever had anybody jealous of you, any of y'all ever done anything so good that people were jealous? Nobody? A buddy I have. Just kidding. But there, people are jealous. Don't it make you feel bad if you're the one that they're jealous about? Doesn't that make you feel bad? It does. It does because you feel bad that they feel that way. Well, that's what he's talking about when he's talking about envy. It's resentful of an advantage that someone's enjoying because they're talented at what they do. And we're resentful of that. So we're jealous. And the Bible says it's crueler than the grave. Jealousy is crueler than the grave. He says, get rid of it. Now, those are all inward things. They're inward. They're in that old nature. But then he mentions evil speaking. Have you ever said anything bad about somebody? I see the smiles. Was any of it about me? I ask personal questions sometimes. Evil speaking. He says it's got to go. That's where you talk down to a person. That's evil. That's not good. And if that makes you feel good to talk down to someone, I'm telling you, folks, it's got to go. You can't talk down to a person. You can't defame a person. You can't slander a person. We just can't do that. Not that it's going to get you into court and you're going to be put in jail. It's because we're children of God, and he says, get rid of it. You don't want it there. You don't need it there. It's not part of who you are, what you are. That's part of the old nature. Now you have that new nature. Please go in that direction. Folks, the nature it's going to show up is the nature that we feed. And if we feed the old nature, it's going to show up. Then he says, after you've gotten rid of that stuff, now let me tell you what else to do. Once you've gotten rid of it, then you got to eat. And he says in verse 2, he says, as a newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. He was very plain to make that exactly that, sincere. Do y'all know what sincere is? Yeah, it even gets a little more than that, and that's where we all are usually in those terms. You like reading the word pure on a product that you're buying, pure, like pure vanilla? Pure. Love that word, man. It just tells me that something's better than what I've had before. It's pure. That's what the word sincere means here. It's the pure milk of the Word of God. And he says in verse 2, as new born babes desire, I didn't leave that word out, did I? Desire. Y'all have babies. Do they desire to eat? Did they, before you ever gave them milk at all, did they desire milk? No, they did not. They did not. They can't desire what they don't know. And they didn't know about milk. You know what they were desiring? Something that would nourish their body and keep them alive. That's what the body takes care of itself. And it needed something. It needed nourishment. We supply the milk. God supplies the milk for us. He says for us, you need to desire it. Now that I have given it to you because it's your way of growth, it is your nourishment for growth, now I want you to desire it. I want you to want it more than anything. I want you to want it so that it changes your life. So he says, the sincere, the pure milk of the word, I want you to desire it. I want this nourishment to be provided to you, and the only way you're going to get it in that new life that you have is it's going to be by the word of God. The life of a newborn will scream. How many of y'all like a screaming baby? I see that some of you say, well, no, I'd rather leave the house. Nobody really likes a screaming baby. They get attention. Amen? That's why they scream. They scream because they want attention. And so they scream for the need of that nourishment. And I wish it was so that when y'all come in here next Sunday, you didn't this Sunday, but next Sunday when you come in here, you're saying, please give us the word. Please, I need the nourishment. My Christian life needs it. I have people who come to church here and they say, I wasn't getting fed where I was. I need nourishment. That's what they're screaming. They're screaming, I need the word. I need the nourishment that comes by the word of God. And so I'm saying to you, let's scream. I want this word. It's important because it's important for my growth. I'm not going to grow without it. And without it, I'm not going to get what he wants from me. Remember, the blessings are the key element here. We grow from milk to meat, but right now we're just talking about the milk. Nothing wrong with the milk. Some folks have made it so that if you're on milk, by the way, if you've been saved a long time, you do need to go to the meat. But right now, milk is the nourishment, and the baby's going to scream for the milk, and he's talking about the milk of the word. We can only grow by the pure, sincere milk of the word of God. Then what happens? Well, look at verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you? If you have tasted it, if you've tasted that he is gracious, here's what's going to happen. You say, well, that's all that's in there. It's what it says. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The reason he put that in, because he was talking about the Jews and what the Jews had done in their relationship with the Lord before this. But he's not talking about the Jew now. He's going to be talking about us. Because in between that verse and right on down to verse 9, I'm not reading those verses, I'm taking you to verse 9. Because in those verses, he's talking about how the Jews rejected him, how they disallowed him as the living stone. Then he says to us that he was a stumbling stone to them, but to us, he's so much more than that because we've taken the place. Now in verse 9, he gives you the blessings of growth. Not that these are new. You become aware of them. When you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you become aware of the blessings. They're there, But if you're not aware of them, it doesn't. If I bought you some of that cookie butter and those cookies, it's the first thing that come to my mind. If I bought you some of that and I told you, I've got you some cookie butter and some almond cookies at the house. And you say, wow, those are good. I love them. Could I have another bite? You're not going to know what I'm talking about. You don't have them. But if you had them in your possession, you see, the Word of God is full of good things for your Christian life, but if you don't partake of them, they're not worth anything to you. So here's what he does in verse 9, and I'm going to buzz right along. I know it's 8 minutes after 12, so hang with me. Are you with me now? Did everybody come back to me? Here's what he says. But ye, now this is you becoming aware of these things. But ye are a chosen generation. I don't have time to go into all these, so y'all going to have to let your minds run wild right here, because this is all about you. It's all about you, every individual in here. You are a chosen generation. Don't think well of yourself, think well of him, because that's the blessing he's put you in. And as you grow, you become aware that that's what you are. And if you'd like to know more about that chosen generation, you see me later and I'll tell you so that you can shout as people are going out. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You remember the priesthood of the Old Testament? That was ceremonial priesthood. We're not ceremonial. We're royal. We're real. We got the real thing. He says, you're a royal priesthood. I'm my own priest. And holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're odd. It means you're his possession. You're precious. You're precious. The word peculiar means a precious possession of his. And that's what you are. And when you become aware that you're a precious possession of the Lord, man, it'll make you feel like you've grown a foot. He says, as a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You become aware of that. You know, if we're not careful, we'll just go through the motions, and every day of our life is just ho-hum drum Christians, and that's not where he wants us. He doesn't want us above average or normal. He just wants us where he's got us. And so that's where he's called us to. We have come out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past. Now, if you want to remember what you were on one side and what you are now, he's giving it to you right here. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. You didn't count at one time, but you do now. You're on the roll. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Blessings, Christian growth, we become aware of what God has blessed us with. You will never know how good a Christian life is until you get into the milk of his word and grow. You'll never know. Never. So I say to you, get into his word and grow. It's important that we do, folks. It is. Let's bow our heads. God's so good to allow us to grow. And I don't know if this message has spoken to your heart or not. I can't answer for that. But I can sure tell you He sure has given us a good look at it, and something that'll cause us to be a stronger Christian for him as we live next week. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never known him, and you know that if you died today, you would not go to heaven because you've not committed your life to him. I'm giving you a time to make that decision right now. This is a special, precious time. Or if you have known him and you just simply have not been growing, make a commitment here today that you're going to be in his word, whether it be on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night, or in your own kitchen in your own living room, just reading and studying the Word of God and saying, God, speak to my heart. Grow me. Grow me. I desire this food. Whatever the decision is, would you make it when we sing this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.